Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, our first look at the Super Bowl. On Thursdays, we always get to Jimmy in Vegas, latest news notes. I wonder if Brent Musburger reached out to him. Musburger announcing yesterday he's leaving ESPN after this weekend to go and do sports gambling consulting in Vegas. So with his family, going to do the family business of gambling. So I'm curious about that. First look at the Super Bowl from Jimmy Vaccaro. That comes up here at 10:20. And then we'll have Goody at the movies. Goody has seen this movie about dogs dying or dog. I don't know what it, if it's a dog or dogs. And he also talked to Matthew McConaughey. It says my show sheet here. So we'll visit with Bill. As you get ready for the weekend, you know what's going on in sports. If you're all excited to watch the Pro Bowl this weekend, whew, you need to go on a date, guys. I mean, really. And every year it does a great number because people just cannot get enough of it. And I haven't changed my approach on this. This isn't old guy get off my lawn. I've felt this way even back when I was in my 20s. Like, the Pro Bowl, it's so what? So, and Fitz isn't playing in the Pro Bowl. He pulled himself out because of injury. So that's this weekend. This is going to be a quiet sports weekend, except for a ton of very good college basketball and some NBA. There's some NBA that is interesting to me because I think it can be tied into the Suns and LeBron James and Eric Bledsoe, and I'll do that here in a little bit. The sports news of the day. So I watched the ASU-Washington game last night. And obviously, if I'm leading with college basketball, it means there's not a lot going on here today. But I do think it's important to talk about this. ASU's game against Washington, ESPN did not provide announcers to do the game here in Tempe. Instead, they were in a studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the industry that you take in and you consume your media and you enjoy watching, you enjoy listening. Many of you dislike broadcasters. Some of you cannot stand me, but you watch every day. Some of you really like what I do and you watch every day. It's fine. It's just how our industry goes. You cannot get in front of a camera or behind a microphone and hope that everybody likes you. It's just not going to work. But I do think when it comes to a game, that this is worthy of having a discussion about. As broadcast companies are paying huge dollars to acquire rights to see games, which doesn't matter to most of you, but the guy doing the game or the girl doing the game and the person doing the color commentary, I do think matters, especially when you're at a level of the Pac-12 conference. No offense to NAU, but I'm sure the Big Sky does this sort of thing. Eric and I were up in San Francisco at the Pac-12 Network Studios. That was like 4 years ago. And they gave us the tour, and they were so excited to take us up on the third floor to this area that was filled of cubicles. And in these cubicles had production equipment in them. And then they were tied into a room. In each one of these rooms was like a little studio. And there were show notes everywhere. And they said, yeah, we have our broadcasters come here to do games for some of the sports, if it's soccer, if it's softball, so on and so forth. And I actually get that. I mean, I have a daughter who plays soccer at the collegiate level, and the games are broadcast by a really good broadcast company who never has technical problems, who always handles their business in the right way, who Jordan used to work for. I'm not laying them out, but no, in all seriousness, for me, there'll be like 10 people watching the stream of this little small private Christian university in suburban Chicago of a soccer game. And so, of course, the picture is pixelated. Boop, 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 boop. Of course, the wind is and there's no announcer and the camera doesn't move and there's kids telling jokes. And I mean, you can hear all this stuff going on. That's what's going to happen in an AIA. I'm concerned that when you get to a level like the Pac-12, and it's my understanding that last night will be the only game that ESPN does this to ASU basketball this year. But if you're going to do it once, it means there's somebody somewhere who's saying, why do we need to send anybody on a plane and rent a car and do all that stuff when we could just have them sit here in a studio in Charlotte, North Carolina? Now, a couple times during the broadcast last night, they came back from break and they said, welcome back. We welcome you back to Tempe. They never said, we are here. I had some fans that sent me notes. Where are the broadcasters? Because it was just empty. And you know, the quality of the broadcast, it was okay. They called ASU Arizona a couple times because guess what? That always happens. That's never going to stop. You can get all offended and disrespected all you want. Arizona and Arizona State are going to get screwed up often by broadcasters outside of the state because most of the time they don't care. They just don't. So ASU won the game. It was fine. But I think to have Savick going forward, if it's happening in 2016 in basketball, then it's going to happen in football. Eventually, you don't need to put Tim Healy on a plane. He'd hate hearing this. You don't need to do that. I mean, why in God's green earth are they sending Jeff Munn on a plane to do Charlie Turner Thorne's women's game, the cost of that, when they could just have him sit in a studio like this? Jeff's not going to like hearing that. If I'm in a position of authority in broadcast and I don't get the whole process, I'm just here to make money hand over fist, then I'm going to take the quality and I'm not going to send Jeff Munn to Salt Lake City, and he's not going to be at shoot around and he's not going to be around the team. And all he's going to say is bounce pass right, jump shot of 15 is good, the Devils lead by two. I mean, that's all he's going to do. And he's going to try to weave in stuff because he's a pro. And Tim Healy will be the same way. This is just a trend that to me is somewhat alarming. Some of you may not have even noticed. Some of you may not even care. But I don't like to see broadcasts being compromised. And I think our industry more and more is doing that. You need to be there in person. Yeah, the guys last night said when we spoke to Bobby Hurley earlier today, it's one thing to have a phone conversation off of a conference call. And I'm sure that's what happened. It's another to be sitting across from him and walking out. You're just going to get a different feel. If you're in the world of sales and you do everything over the phone, okay, versus being there in person, you're not going to have as good of an opportunity to sell. You've got to be there in person. Am I right on this? If you don't have that personal relationship, if you're just calling in from, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Bobby, tell us about your team. How's this kid playing? How's that playing? What are you concerned with? What can we use on the broadcast about this kid? What can we not use on the broadcast about this kid? That's how those meetings go. Who's coming along? Who's not coming along? But there's something to be said of sitting there with that guy in the office and actually meeting that kid and being a part of the fabric to bring a better quality to you. I don't think you want us just walking in here and seeing what's on the front page of a newspaper or a website and saying, this is what we're going to talk about today. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So it bothered me last night a little bit. ASU, so they won the game, by the way, 86-75. Shannon Evans at 25. I thought they controlled the game for the most part. Washington's not great. They have a terrific young player, but they're not, you know, I wouldn't say it's the best team, and we'll see if Lorenzo Romar is even here next year. He's got some great recruits coming in. He's done a nice job in that regard, but there's some that are just like, it's time for a change. U of A plays Washington State tonight. This should not be a contest in any way, shape, or form. This should not even be a game. For those of you that think that U of A is a national title contending team, games like tonight are games where you get the kinks worked out. Yeah, you just came off of beating UCLA. So what? That's yesterday's news. So what? You're a rolled ankle of Markkanen. You are a Trier whatever away from just going back to being a 15 to 25 team in the country. That's it. That's how narrow it is. And so when you get to this point of the season, at the halfway point, you have a game against a team that's not good, you should go out and roll, but you should also go out and correct the things that aren't right. They're not a perfect team. They're just not. There was some recruiting news yesterday, so letter of intent day is 6 days away. And for Arizona State football, their class is teetering, I think. U of A's class has just been destructed. NAU's having a nice run, and ACU here in town's having a nice run, too. We'll do plenty of recruiting on National Letter of Intent Day, and there's lots of free content up on our website that you can check out at sports360az.com. Really good content. And Jordan Hamm leads up most of it. Yesterday, well, first of all, am I right on this whole rant about the broadcast last night?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think.
Did you watch?
I watched a very small portion
of it. Did you know?
I didn't know, but something seemed different. You could tell. And I think as a broadcaster, you feed off of the energy when you're in that building, even if it is half full. But if there's a big
half?
Play, well, fractionally full.
I know what you're saying.
But Yeah, I think you definitely feed off of that. Like you said, getting someone on the phone versus getting someone in person and having that FaceTime, I think, is crucial. So in terms of the prep and the execution, I think that those are two huge differences that can bleed through in a broadcast.
You and I are the same age almost.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, we're just like weeks apart. But as you're getting into the industry and moving forward in the industry, does this concern you?
Yeah.
Because you're a millennial, you're a sports consumer. I mean, is it all a bunch about nothing last night? Or is this something you look at and say, well, wow, that could be me. Or I just don't believe that this is what our industry should be doing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the last one. I think that you, like I said, you need to be there. You need to consume this so you can properly relay it to the people that are consuming it from your broadcast.
All right. So I just went through recruiting for next week because you're all in on this.
Yep.
And I went around the state. Am I right in my assessment? ASU, if they hang on to some of these kids, they're going to have an okay class, middle Pac-12. U of A, it's been a real struggle, train wreck. NAU's done a nice job, very good job, actually. And ACU is doing a very good job. Am I right on all four? I
would say those are all fair statements.
Okay.
Arizona State has the potential to add two guys, but I don't think it's very likely just with all the coaching turnover. That the second straight year that's happened, it's tough to bring in those top flight guys late in the process when you don't know who's going to be coaching.
So for context sake, so fans know this, mm-hmm. Jordan not only works here at Sports 360 AZ, but you are part of Scout.
Yeah.
And you do Scout for Stanford?
For Stanford and a little bit of Washington State.
Okay. You Hawaii, or was that just you posting something?
That was just more local guys.
You were on the bandwagon for them.
Yeah.
I thought you were getting paid under the table. You were so in on Hawaii last night.
Helping out where I can.
So KJ Jarrell, mm-hmm. Over at Saguaro High School commits to ASU yesterday. So what are you hearing on this? What is ASU? Is this, in your opinion, because I've got mine having watched him play a couple times, is this one of their top five recruits, in your opinion, this year's class?
Of this class, yeah, I would say so. He's
all right. What sets him apart?
I think it's more the potential. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be a guy that is going to be a plug and play. He reminds me a lot of Chase Lucas from last year from Chandler, where
he didn't play though, did he?
He didn't, but he'll have to grow into that. But I think he has a frame to do that.
Do we have video of him, or is that up on the site?
It's up on the site. I think we do have a little bit of video as well, but he's able to. You know, the instincts and things like that, and just going through that factory that is Saguaro of developing talent and getting them
to the
next
level. Here we go, the factory of Saguaro. Well, do you get a check from them too?
It's true.
Wow.
I'm supposed to report the news, and they're in the news a lot.
There you
go.
That's true.
You know,
I'm giving you a hard time because I get a hard time about that. Are you guys nothing but Saguaro homers? I don't know. They win all the time. What are we supposed to do here?
Right.
They turn out Division I out there. What are we supposed to do? You know, we're just reporting.
When I'm on a show called The Recruiting Roundup, and there's a lot of recruiting happening there, you kind of have to include
Saguaro.
Yeah,
and I'm the one that gets the notes saying, all you do is talk about the it's Saguaro. I'm so tired of them. Why don't they play Chaparral? So it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Good job. We have Jimmy Vaccaro here in a couple of moments. Later in the show, so LeBron went off again, or is going off like daily, on David Griffin and the ownership, really on the ownership group. And I'm going to tie Eric Bledsoe in on this. That'll be in about 10 minutes. And then we'll have Goody at the Movies too. So we have a jam-packed show today. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's head to Las Vegas because now the Super Bowl is set. And there's a new man on the block in Vegas competing against Jimmy Vaccaro. His name is Brent Musburger, or not. Jimmy Vaccaro's with us. At Jimmy Vaccaro on Twitter. 41 years Las Vegas bookmaker. SouthPointSports.com. South Point Resort Casino for the Super Bowl stuff. And everything else. I joked there about Brent Musburger off the top. Brent referred to you many, many times through the years, Jimmy, that I had heard in broadcasts. Did this bit of news come as a surprise yesterday?
Well, no, not really. But obviously the announcements on everything will be handled by his nephew and then PR people. So you'll start to hear a lot of stuff probably Monday night or naturally Tuesday when he does the last game. But, you know, whatever he does, and first of all, let me say this, it's my honor to call him a friend. We've known each other for well over 25 years, way back to the Mirage days. It is very apparent he likes to talk about things that used to be archaic and weren't allowed to be talked about, but he broke a lot of ground for people like me to have a job for because I'm 41 years. So whatever he decides to do, and naturally, hopefully I'll be a part of it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Like I said, just stay tuned.
Yeah, and when I first heard the news, I immediately said, well, he's got to be doing something with Jimmy, but or vice versa. But that's just me sitting here having known you through the years and Brent too. So, but you're saying stay tuned on that.
Yeah, stay tuned, and I think what you hear, everybody will like.
Good. That's good. It's good stuff. The Super Bowl. Do you like this matchup? Does Vegas like this matchup?
Yeah, only because it's the event that really overcomes everything else. It really didn't matter to some degree which teams are in there because this thing has grown, and as you would know as well as anybody, it's enormous anymore. Maybe with Aaron Rodgers versus Brady, that might have been a little bit different. Maybe up to handle maybe 3-4%, but I'll take who I have here only because it is the game. And as I've been telling people that, you know, at the South Point, you can magnify that the whole way up and down the strip. As I said, Nevada, we have two extra ballrooms that we use for an event like this, which will service between 800 and 1,000 people just on the second floor. So you can see, and the tourist spread start to roll in come next Wednesday night. So it's a spectacle, and if you ever have a chance, and not to, to let me tell you what to do with your Super Bowl weekend, but you got to visit here once. You got to have this on your bucket list. This and March Madness, the first 4 days.
Okay, so if somebody just hearing you say that says, I want to go, what advice would you give them? I mean, obviously, to stay where you where you're at, but just in general, what advice would you give them? Because it is such a circus. I've been there; it's great.
Right.
There's so much energy. But what advice would you give them?
Call early. Make sure you have a room. That's the first most important thing if you're coming from out of state. There's usually what happens, even though everybody is filled up, there's always some cancellation, you know, late Friday and early Saturday. So I would keep calling or keep on the website of the hotel you wish to visit, because if there are some what you would call cancellation, they post that immediately on all the websites for the hotels. But you got to try to come and you got to try to do it at least once. But first things first, make sure you have a room. Second thing, you can probably, now this is a little stretch, maybe get into one of, not the VIP party where you're invited guests, but the other ballroom that we open. If you come early enough, I will try to help you. Doesn't mean I can help you, but, and understand when you get here about the props work, how everything works, only because you don't want to wait 45 minutes in line, then get to the front of the counter and say, geez, help me out, I don't know what I'm doing. Spot a supervisor, spot somebody like me, we'll explain it. So when you get to the front line, you know exactly what you're doing. And enjoy it, because it is a spectacle.
Okay, the game itself, the number, the total, what's it look like today as we're talking?
Well, we're holding on 3. Obviously, the Patriots are a small favorite. The biggest action so far has been on the total, as you've known in the last few months. Every one of these games with these wide-open offenses are going up. We opened the total 58. We're up to 59.5. We are at 3. You will see 3.5, I believe, on the Patriots. Actually, when next week when the tourists come to town, it should be a 60-40 fight with ticket counts. Patriots is the winner there. And also understand, Brad, and you surely understand this, the wise guys are dwarfed in this type of event. Mm-hmm. It'll be 90 to 95% of what you call recreational and fun betting weekend. So whatever the public decides, that's the side you're going to need, obviously the opposite. I think Patriot money will show. It has shown already, maybe at about a 55-45 comp. But interesting thing here, naturally I talk to a lot of people whom I consider very, very well at this, and they like the Falcons. So they're looking maybe to snap up to 3.5 if it shows there, which I think it will. But I would say now that most of the books, if not all of them, will be rooting for the Falcons come Super Bowl Sunday.
Got anything on prop bets so far, Jimmy? I know it's early.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing, but we have about 25 up, but those are the same 25 we've been using for years, obviously. Who will win the coin toss? Successful two-point conversion, and the one everybody always wants to bet. Will it be an overtime? You know, will there be a safety? Those are the funding. Let me tell you this. We have a heads or a tail count. Now, we put these things up after last year's game because it doesn't matter which teams they were. At kickoff time last Super Bowl Sunday, we had $32,000 bet on whether it's heads or tails. That's how intriguing this game is, my friend.
That's funny. That's funny. Stay well. Appreciate it as always, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. It's a bit of news there. I'd say there's a little bit of news there with Brent Musburger. I mean, it was obvious as soon as when I saw the story yesterday morning that that Brent was leaving and he's going to go to Vegas. It's like, well, he's got to be involved with Jimmy. And so that sounds good. That sounds really interesting. We'll put that up on the site later today, the whole interview. because there's some Super Bowl stuff there that you should get into. But that's a bit of news there. That's where Brent is. I think there'll be Jimmy's name somewhere along with what Brent is going to go do. So good stuff there. I may go. I don't know. We've got waste management next week. It's a 5-hour drive. It's been years since I've done Vegas, and I don't think this is the most attractive Super Bowl, so this is the time to go. Because is it going to be jam-packed? It will be, but it won't be. It would be much crazier if the Falcons weren't involved. Let's put it that way. If it's the Cowboys and Patriots, oh my gosh. No, I don't want to go. I don't need to go. And then we're going to Vegas in March for the Pac-12 tournament, but it'd be good to see Jimmy. I might go. On the other side, LeBron James, and I'm not one that looks at LeBron James stuff to do every day on a show, but I think that it's important to bring this up today because I can tie the Suns into this rather easily. We'll get into LeBron James being upset with his team and what they're doing with their roster on the other side. And then Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. What's fun about doing this show is you just have things that fall into your lap. Things that happen during the course of a show today, like Jimmy and Brent Musburger, that's really interesting. ESPN just blew out Tommy Smith, and I like Tommy Smith. Tommy Smith has been at ESPN for a long, long time. He just put on Twitter that he is gone. So, you know, the let's not send announcers to Tempe for a basketball game to cut corners, and Tommy Smith, goodbye, see you later, thank you for playing. And part of that is just that Tommy, this sounds very harsh, but this is where our industry is. Tommy's older. So you can see these guys that they're just kind of phasing out, pushing to the side. And the mouse has been pissed off. It's the only way to put it. Do not piss off the mouse. That is known in our industry. Meaning don't upset Disney and don't upset shareholders and don't upset stock prices. And ESPN has done that. And so what have we seen this year? Just right and left. Goodbye. See you later. Thank you for playing. Reassignment. Not going to be back. We're not going to send announcers. Quality control. Right. Got it. So we're going to get LeBron here for a second. And I don't do, those of you that watch this show and take in our comment, you know that we don't sit here every day and say what is going to get us the most clicks. Because if we did that, we're just going to talk about if Carson Palmer is going to be back and Larry Fitzgerald is going to be back every day for every hour of every show for a long, long time. And I'm just, we're not doing that. There's so much more going on. And that's what we've done for 5.5 years. So when there's something to bring up with LeBron, it's because I see it and say, all right, let's talk about this a little bit. For context's sake, the Cavaliers have not been good here recently. And I look at the NBA and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I look at the NBA and there always seems to be some sort of controversy in January to kind of tide us over into February. It doesn't matter if it's Charles ripping on players or if LeBron going off or KD and Russell Westbrook. There's just things that have to be thrown out there to keep the sport in the news cycle to supposedly keep you interested in it rather than just, I don't know, wins and losses in the games themselves. We can't just turn on a game anymore to watch and see beautiful basketball because we have to build it up that this villain is going to play this villain. LeBron's going to play against Carmelo. That's why you should watch. We don't think you should watch because Tyronn Lue, a young aspiring coach who's working his way up the ranks, he's won a title, but he's still very young against Steve Kerr. That's not enough. We have to find a way to make sure that you guys can be fully into this and know this guy hates this guy and that's why you should watch. Ooh, whatever. So when LeBron comes out and says things like, I don't know if ownership, and I'll get his exact quote here. I had it up. Where is it? There it is. It's my show notes. Sorry about that. I don't very often scroll around during a show. I don't think it's the most professional thing to do, but I'm going to do it here. As I had it laid out here, LeBron James, after his loss in New Orleans earlier this week, they lost in New Orleans without Anthony Davis. James, quote, I just hope that we're not satisfied as an organization in talking about the recent money decisions by the team. He followed that up with some tweets, quote, I not mad or upset at management because general manager David Griffin and staff have done a great job. I just feel we still need to improve in order to repeat if that's what we want to do. Okay, so he's taking a swipe at ownership. This supposedly, reportedly, sources say, and some of them are people that I read that I respect a great deal, that Dan Gilbert, the owner of the team, became upset because LeBron appeared to imply it was organizationally a choice whether to improve or not. David Griffin then turns around, and you have to understand, we know Griff here very well. David Griffin was an intern at the Suns, if you haven't heard this story, was an intern at the Suns when I first got here. David Griffin would used to tell me where to park and where my credential was. David Griffin would run stats and sit them down in front of us. David Griffin would tell us what was being served in the press room. And David Griffin poured himself and invented himself into being a general manager. He would stay late and be there early and break down film and be an assistant and do whatever it took. And now he's running the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those of you that want to be in sports, you can do the same thing. You really can. I don't know if you're going to get to David Griffin's spot, but if you're in the cubicle watching me right now and you're like, God, this sucks. I want to be doing sports. You could be doing what we're doing. You could be doing, there's ways to do it. And Dave just went after it. So David Griffin actually calls out LeBron James. You have to respect the heck out of somebody who does that. Quote, the comment about the organization being complacent, I think, is really misguided. Griffin said Wednesday, organizationally, there is absolutely no lack of clarity on what our goal is set is. We are here to win championships. Anyone intimating that this organization is about anything other than that would deeply upset me because ownership has invested in this at an absolutely historic level. Several times over the last month, James has called on the team to add a player, preferably a ball handler. So then the team gets Kyle Korver. They save several million dollars by reducing payroll. They open up a roster spot. They have that spot open that's just sitting there. So Maverick Carter is Eric Bledsoe's agent. LeBron James has referred to Eric Bledsoe as, or Eric Bledsoe's people have referred to him as Mini LeBron. Eric Bledsoe is toiling away here in Phoenix on a team that you may say they're making progress, they're heading in the right direction. May 29th, 2010, last time they were in a playoff game. That's all you need to know. He has 2.5 years left on his deal. I have said repeatedly that he is not going to be here when they do get the thing, if they do get the thing turned around. There's no way he's going to resign to stay in Phoenix. I could be dead flat wrong. I'm laying it out there. It's my view on this, just from how I see the tea leaves and just the whole lay of the land. Eric Bledsoe's having a really good season. We cannot deny that. Eric Bledsoe's playing terrific for the Suns. You're LeBron James. You've got an open slot on your roster, same agent. They're very close. They're very tight. Doesn't take a brain surgeon to add this up. Now, the Suns are sitting here before the February 23rd deadline, and they've got P.J. Tucker, and they've got Tyson Chandler, and those names have been thrown around. P.J. Tucker and Tyson Chandler are doing fine in Phoenix. They are complementary role players on a title-contending team. They're not getting nearly as many minutes if they're on a title-contending team. But because they're in Phoenix, yeah, they're playing well enough. But again, they're not going to be here when this team gets it figured out with Devin Booker as the nucleus. You will argue, well, Eric Bledsoe's a nucleus. Again, where are we? How many wins? How far back in the playoffs? How many years? May 29, 2010. Am I supposed to trust this group? So usually in a spot like this, with Cleveland sitting there with an open roster, a slot, and the Suns having a player that arguably Eric Bledsoe is having an all-star season. I don't even think arguably. It's just he's at a position where he's not going to make it. When you look at all the players at his position at the in the backcourt in the Western Conference, he's not going to make it. Now, what would Cleveland have that would be attractive for the Suns? Not much, in my opinion. They're not going to tear down a title-contending team. But anybody who thinks that we're sitting here looking at the precipice of a team that's going to get it turned around and go a long ways here in Phoenix by standing pat with a valued asset like an Eric Bledsoe is fooling themselves. Brian McDonough would argue with me all day long. He'd say, what do you know? I don't see you down here. No, you don't. I don't need to be down there. I see what's going on the floor. I see what's going on in the front office. I see what's going on with your roster additions and subtractions. I'm just saying that if your star player, the star player of the league, is starting to look around and say, you know, I don't think we have enough here. And I also think that my window might be starting to close a little bit. And he's going to raise a ruckus like he's doing. Came out yesterday, the Knicks tried to talk to Cleveland about Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has a no-trade clause. In fact, he has a full no-trade clause. He can't go anywhere. I've had some fans that sent me notes here the last 24 hours. Do you think the Suns should go after Carmelo Anthony? Heck no. Actually, let me rephrase that. Hell no. I don't need a guy that pounds nails into the floor when he's dribbling. That's all he does. Pound a nail, pound a nail, pound a nail. Fall away, 13 of 31 stat line. Oh, man, it's everybody's fault. I don't understand why this stuff happens to me. I don't know why the Knicks don't. I mean, I don't know. That's been his whole career. And he's on the backside of the career. So as we get closer to the trade deadline, and we're less than a month away, the Suns should be a team that if they stand pat, I don't know what to make of that if they stand pat. I really don't. Is it that Robert just wants to keep missing the playoffs because he wants his new building and he's not going to invest anything into the product to get it over the top? Is that what's going on here? Because we all know he wants a new building, and I don't think he's going to get it downtown. I don't. Goody at the Movies is next. We're going to go from heavy to light, I hope. He's got some movie about dogs. I don't know if it's good or not. He's got a movie about Matthew McConaughey. He spoke with him this week. Goody at the Movies on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it is Thursday, it is time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He is joining us before a screening. What are you seeing today?
I'm seeing John Wick, Chapter 2.
Ew, dark.
but fun, probably. First one was super violent, but kind of fun.
All right. Matthew McConaughey, you spoke with Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey is one of these guys that you hear the, all right, and he did some sports stuff. I remember I talked to him during We Are Marshall, and he just wanted to talk about Texas football, and he's teaching, I hear, down at UT, which is kind of cool. Why did you talk to Matthew McConaughey, and how was he?
I talked to him for the movie Gold. He like gains weight and gets bald and stuff. I've actually talked to him. I think that the movie that he really started turning things around for was Lincoln Lawyer, and which was, I believe, 2011. And I've talked to him about four or five times. Usually I don't talk to people, you know, if I've already talked to him, I don't talk to him a lot again. But, you know, or I'll wait a few years. But for whatever reason, I've talked to him maybe four or five times since then, because it's been kind of fun to sort of chart his progress as he's just, you know, he won an Oscar and everything. And he's just a good guy to talk to. He's obviously a lot smarter than a lot of the characters he plays in movies. And but he's fun. He's just fun to talk to.
I kind of like how you said he got bald. I want to know how that works. How do you get unbald? So
I think you stop having them shave your head in the makeup department.
That's probably
I did
true.
Ask him, you know, for Dallas Buyers Club, he won an Oscar for that. And he and Jared Leto, who also won an Oscar, both lost a ton of weight because they played guys who had AIDS. And I remember talking to Leto then, and I said, you know, how did you do it? And he said, losing weight is math. You eat fewer calories than you burn. I was like, well, I guess that's every diet in the world broken down. But I asked McConaughey, you know, then how do you gain weight? And he said, oh, that was pretty fun, actually. He said, I ate whatever I wanted, mostly cheeseburgers and beer.
That's awesome. And,
but then he said it took him 6 months to lose it.
God. No. Yeah, it took six years off his life. Is Gold any good?
No, unfortunately, he should have invested his time a little more wisely.
should have eaten more cheeseburgers and drank more beer.
I hope he enjoyed the beer and the cheeseburgers. it's okay. He's really good, but the story around it, it's an interesting story. It's about it's based on this Canadian company. His character is fictional, but he plays this kind of down-on-his-luck miner. But when I say miner, I mean like a modern miner, like who, you know, uses computers and stuff. But he... But it's set in the 80s. The real thing took place in the 90s. His dad was very successful, and then he died, and then he kind of goes to seed, and he's running his mining company out of a bar. And he finally hooks in with Edgar Ramirez, who is a geologist who had a big copper find, and he thinks there's gold and in South America. And they end up finding not only gold, but the biggest gold strike in the 20th century. But there are more complications than that. And he's really good because he's a guy, one of these kind of striving loser types who finally sort of has his day And but it just, the people around him, it's just not, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can hear it in your voice. A dog's purpose. So I bring this up because my wife said there's not a chance, and my 12-year-old said there's not a chance, because we have a screening to go to it, that they would go because they would just bawl their eyes out. It looks so sad that if you're an animal lover, there's no way you could do this, right?
Well, as part of the story, a dog dies about every few minutes.
Right.
It's about a dog who is reincarnated several times as he finds his purpose. That's the title. And it's had a lot of controversy because PETA is urging boycotts, and they're going to have protests and stuff because somebody gave footage to TMZ of a dog being forced into the water. Who didn't want to go in it. And then Gavin Pallone, who is a really interesting fellow, he wrote this big long thing in the Hollywood Reporter about how that was inaccurate. And I mean, certainly it shouldn't have happened, but it didn't happen the way they said it. Da, 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 da. But I will say this. You don't need to boycott the movie. There's so many other reasons not to see this movie. If you have to feel good about yourself because of the boycott, you know, that's fine. I mean, it's sappy, and it's sad. You cannot not make a sad movie if you kill dogs in it. I mean, and some of them live, some of his lives are long and happy, and some are short and sad, and some are short and weird, and it's ridiculously melodramatic, and
it looks painful, Bill. I mean, you know this, the Super Bowl's next week, and we'll talk commercials next week. You know that half of the commercials are going to involve pets and apes and chimps. Put chimps on TV and I'm watching. You know, it's just, we've gotten in this thing of, let's make a movie involving animals that talk, you know, all that stuff. And this one just looks dreadful, just looks painful.
It's not that it's so poorly made. It's just that, I mean, it's just too sappy. I mean, it's funny, and my God, the dogs are adorable. I'm going to give something away. I don't usually do this, but I actually gave this away in my review too. The movie starts with this puppy being born, right? He's like a little puppy, and there's like all these four or five puppies, and you don't know where they are. I mean, they're just sitting there. And then this dog catcher comes. This is like a minute into the movie, and the next thing you know, he's on to his next life.
Oh God!
So he is euthanized as a puppy 1 minute into the movie.
And kids are bawling, "Mommy, they killed the puppy!"
Well, and the first scene is this adorable puppy, and everybody in the theater is like, it's about, what it reminded me of was every dramatic dog food commercial you've ever seen stretched out to like 2 hours.
Oh God. All right. Anything else this week? Because I know you have a screening here in a couple of moments. Anything else this week to go see or stay away from?
Well, you should go see a German comedy about outsourcing that lasts 2 hours and 40 minutes, actually. I know it doesn't sound like...
Subtitles? Subtitals?
Tony Erdmann. Yes, subtitles.
Oh, right.
There's some English in it, but but it's really good. It's about this dad who's a teacher. He's kind of a nutcase, but funny. I mean, he's a fun guy. And he's got a real straight-laced, rich daughter who works for an outsourcing company, and she's in Romania, and he kind of drops in on her unexpected. And it's actually really funny, and it's really sweet, and it's really bizarre.
Long.
Of course, but
2 hours and 40 minutes of German subtitles. Are you kidding me?
I know that it sounds like a bit of a load.
A bit!
But it's a good...
That sounds good.
It actually is good. So,
okay, one last question. What is the over-under on kill rate in A Dog's Purpose? How many dogs are actually gone? Is this movie? Is it kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando, except it's just dogs? Or Rambo, except it's just dogs?
No, it's the same dog. I mean, although
it's the same dog over and over that gets...
It's the same form of a dog. I mean, it's not the same form. It's not the same body. It's like his soul. And like one time he's a girl. It's like his soul. It's like if you're reincarnated as an ant or something, except he just is a dog every time. And one time he's like, I'm missing something. Oh no, am I a girl? And everybody's like, it's hilarious. But he lives, one of his lives, a couple of his lives are pretty long. So there's not all that many times that he dies, but he dies of natural causes, and he dies of unnatural causes, and he died, you know.
Gosh. Is there a truck that runs him over?
No, he doesn't avoid that.
No roadkill.
No, but there are some other creative ways. The thing that is actually worse than him dying is when he gets adopted by this horrible redneck kind of girl that whose boyfriend abuses him and like leaves him out.
Leaves him out
in the yard in the snow and Well, the point is supposed to be that he gets to find out what his purpose is.
All right. My purpose is to let you go right now, so I'm going to do that.
My purpose is to go see John Wick.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
There's Bill Gittykins. Goody at the movies. Did I miss the point on that one? Dogs dying over. It's just one dog that dies over and over in various ways. Hey, we got a script here, guys. We got a script about a dog. And this dog's going to die a whole bunch of ways. We're going to pack theaters. We're going to get a stunt dog and put him in there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. It's always good to have Bill on Thursday. I love Thursday shows. Between Jimmy and Bill, it's just, you just don't know. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. When I see my dog today, I'm just going to lose it. At Sports360AZ.com. Thanks for being with us.